You're happy in the morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.
Fever, fever, freedom. I've got Kamala fever. Holy shit. Welcome to the Cocktail Hour, episode 167 on a beautiful Saturday, July 27th, 2024.
And warm in here.
The country's a changing. What's warm in here? In the garage?
Yeah, my. Oh, it's the studio, Kelly. The studio is a little on the warm side, and I see that my fan's been shut off.
So we're stop running your motorcycle with the door closed then.
In the studio.
It's such a wonderful smell, that automotive smell. Yeah, isn't there nothing better than the smell of gasoline and burning oil and some exhaust? You smell like a man.
You're looking more and more sleepy the more I talk to you, Danny. I'm a little worried.
My studio's hot.
I hope all of our listeners are doing well. Reach out to us. You can post little things. In fact, you could post questions, I believe, John, can't you?
You know what? You could. No one ever does, but you could. I mean, remember, we've got email addresses. I think we probably still have a Twitter account. If you're in the know, you could just text us because you got our texts.
But and we'll answer your questions.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of questions America needs answered. I mean, I think we called it early. Trump was not shot by a bullet. He was hit with some broken glass. Here we are, a week or two later. Everything, his ear looks just fine because of his miraculous, you know, genes and
you got hit by a bullet.
Ear growing. You think he did?
Well, I read today the FBI confirmed he was hit by a bullet.
That's what I heard too.
He was hit by a piece of a bullet that broke off when it hit something else.
I mean, the other guy. I don't know.
Okay, if you want to get picky, I mean.
I mean, you get hit by a bullet, man. I don't think there's much left of your ear, you know?
Well, one of those bullets, especially those 232 caliber things.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that the FBI is just really embarrassed. And so that's, I think me, those, you know, what the FBI could hate the Secret Service guys because they get the cushy job. So they're like, oh, he was hit by a bullet because Secret Service.
Not anymore. They don't get the cushy job. They get fired.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't a Secret Service guy that day, man.
Oh, geez.
Can you imagine being a Secret Service for Trump, like on a Thursday? You got to kind of follow. Here we go again, you know, and just some bullshit. And you're just, you know, I mean, it's not all Secret Service guys love Trump and they're fist pumping at MAGA rallies and things like that. They might just be, I'm going to crash this SUV into this bridge abutment because I just can't take any more.
Yeah. My job would probably, I'd get stuck with the guy that has to go out and get the KFC. You know what I mean?
Oh, gee, that would whiz. Be my job.
I just know that's the kind of job I would get handed.
That's the secret detective squad in the Kremlin, right? KFC?
No.
they go down to the local
greasy group.
Mar-a-Lago KFC. Yeah, I need 40 chicken legs, medium, please.
I got a question for you.
Got it.
Do you think when an incident happened like it did at the Butler Park in Pennsylvania, that obviously I think all the Secret Service people who were there are definitely interviewed, right? And to get their, when they're trying to figure out what went wrong and everything. Do you think they ask them how they vote? Or are they allowed to?
I don't think you can ask that. No, that's voting is a very private thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think not anymore. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know that? He might wear them out so much. If you just love Hillary Clinton, you might not be able to take
You'll get weeded out.
And you'd be like, "Please reassign me to the porta potty cleaning squad."
Yeah, but you'd have to disclose publicly that. Adore Clinton.
No, I mean, no, I'm just thinking like personally. Like you could just stand there stone-faced at rally after rally after rally. But you might want to end your own life from listening to that shit one more time. And you would ask your commander, could I be reassigned to a foreign country.
Oh, I see. Which, like, ask
not like yeah, not like he would fire you. He would fire you because he didn't like your hair or he thought your suit looked cheap or something. You know, quality like that. You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I what was I going to say about the voting thing? Oh no, I read briefly today. I didn't go into it about. You know, he did say today, Trump did say that if you're a Christian and you reelect him, you'll never have to vote again. I'll fix it, is what he said.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
Like, that's what he said.
Yeah,
really? What does he mean by that?
So
I don't know. I didn't get a deep
dive on that. I saw the longer clip of that. And it was, and that headline, while catchy, might not actually, not that I'm going to promote him or anything. What he was saying was, I love Christians. Christians are great. I want Christians to vote for me. Vote for me. You only have to vote one more time and then we'll fix everything and you won't ever have to vote again. So, like, he's going to fix the economy. He's going to stop the war in Ukraine. He's going to get us more oil. Housing prices will drop. Jobs will go up. Everything will be so good, so wonderful and so good. You Christians won't need to vote ever again because you won't have any complaints. And there was no, like, latent thing of, you know, I'm going to stay in office for 80 more years. Or
so he didn't mean that. Oh, okay.
No, I felt like he, you know.
But he did not mean that either.
He did not mean, he didn't say, I promise that my family and I will fade into obscurity after 4 years. But I think what he might have meant, and I don't know why I would give him the benefit of the doubt because he sucks, but that he's just going to fix everything in his next term and it'll be so great. You won't have to do anything. All of these child molesting libtards will be under the jailhouse and everything will be great. It'll just be
okay.
So wonderful. Yeah. And he's, you know, he is promising absolutely everything to everybody all the time. You know, it's going to be, and then he's, my wife told me that Vice President Harris has raised $220 million in a week.
Oh, man.
From people. And there's a couple of things that I...
That's grassroots too, right?
I mean, who knows who's giving it?
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, they're saying that she was getting like, what, $20,000 a minute was coming in just from donations. People are getting... Wow. Some people are getting excited about her candidacy, which I think is good. But I saw two things. That one thing I liked, one thing I didn't like this week. One of them was a hat. It was like an ad for, you know, get on this webinar and hear what Harris has to say. And it was a hat that said, white guys for Harris or old white guys for Harris or something like that. And I'm like, oh, you know, that'd be a good hat to have. And then the other thing was somebody in my family sent me this awful Dukes of Hazzard recut. So think about the Dukes of Hazzard TV show and the opening scene. You know, they're sliding over the hood of that car and Daisy Dukes doing that kind of thing. So they had just clumsily put the faces of Trump and J.D. Vance and Melania. You know, so Trump was Beau Duke with the blonde hair and J.D. Vance was Luke Duke with the dark hair, and Melania was the beautiful Daisy Duke. Biden was Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane, you know, kind of the idiot. And there's a scene in the opening. It's just really quick. And it has Roscoe and his Basset Hound driving down the road in the police car. So over the face of the Basset Hound, they put Kamala Harris's face just for a minute. So I sent it to somebody because I got it. And this guy's like, you know, is this pro-Trump or against Trump? And I said, look at where Kamala Harris's face is, and then you tell me whether it's pro or against. But it's just like so comical to think that, A, Donald Trump could drive a car, or B, that Donald Trump could pull back a compound bow and fire a dynamite-laden arrow into an outhouse somewhere, you know? That kind of thing. It was just surreal. And the people that sent me were like, oh, this is so great. Like there's this fantasy that Trump could do anything at all, you know?
Yeah.
You just watch those clips and there you can just imagine those guys cheering. Yeah. Yeah. Look at them driving the General Lee. This is awesome. Trump is, he's so cool. And then like in reality, he couldn't squeeze through the window without compressing his depends.
Because there's no door, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta jump through the window and all that kind of stuff. That guy couldn't get into that car to save his life.
Don't you find it a little sad that we're talking about one of the most important events in probably the history of the world, and it's getting, you know, dumbed down to videos about, you know.
Oh, it's getting dumbed down, man. That is a great term. I mean, I saw this clip yesterday, and this interviewer was talking to some women in Wisconsin. Then they're like, you know, five or six large, comfortable, you know, built to sit in a chair, women sitting in this hall. And she's like, you know, what do you think about now that the convention's over and, you know, Biden, who you ridiculed for being too old and, you know, senile and stuff, he's been replaced with Harris, and she's getting a lot of, and they go, well, that scares us. She seems to be going after the minority vote, the women vote, and the youth vote. And, you know, and I'm thinking, what the hell's left? You know, old white men, that's it. You know,
well, there's the dog vote.
That's true. Yeah.
She got the basset hound vote. It sounded like,
don't forget the illegals vote. All of those millions of illegals, after they rape and kill everybody, they just head right to the ballot box.
Yeah. And the dead.
That's right. Millions of dead people voting against.
It'd be funny. You had a long line of caskets, right? Vote.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. You said that women that are built for sitting in a chair. I like women that are built for sitting on my lap. Okay.
So you wouldn't last. You wouldn't last long with these women. Woo. I mean,
be in a chair.
I'd lose blood
solid
to my feet.
They were solid. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well. They do have some wonderful recipes. Let's
that's
let's
true.
Give them that.
The Velveeta and salt shake. chicken fried pie. You know, things like that.
These are the same women that don't understand why lard is not on the periodic table, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah,
because that's what they need.
Yeah, and you know, I went to our local car show restaurant in town yesterday and ate there, and I don't want to name the restaurant, but man, you could eat healthier places. I mean, it's one of those places that's still like, you know, would you like chili or chili spaghetti? You know, you get they bring you a milkshake and it comes in a big cup, and then the cup they use to make it in, so you get a half extra milkshake,
a topper.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the salad is, what kind of dressing do you want? What do you have? Well, you know, ranch, Thousand Island, blue cheese, French. I mean, it was just like all the Kraft or Hidden Valley. You know, I'm like, oh, shit, we're in America again. I mean, this is it. This is what makes our nation great right here. Iceberg lettuce and ranch dressing. Tasty.
You know, once every couple of months.
No, I was going to say, that's a restaurant you go to and you ask, do you have anything in here that's not unprocessed? Right. And they go, yeah, the illegal cooking in the back.
Shit. <You know? laughs>
That's the only way it's been processed. You know? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
There's something great about once every couple of months or something, or once every 3 months, to go to those places and just eat what you fucking want, and it actually is really good, you know, like just a cram and a milkshake, and it's just great.
Milkshake and a hot fudge cake and
I love
onion,
it.
Onion rings.
You gotta give it up. It's delicious.
I mean, of course I ate. I had a, you know, I'm a wuss. I got a tuna melt on sourdough.
Well, that's pretty healthy. Yeah,
you're a health nut, aren't you?
It was more healthy. But, you know, our Japanese exchange student, she got French toast, you know, because they serve breakfast all day. Yeah. And like, yeah, go for it, kid.
That's another great American invention, that breakfast all day.
Oh, breakfast.
You know, yeah, that's why. Yeah. Yeah, that brought in everybody. They, you know, people, that's why they're storming the border. They want to come to a place where you can have breakfast all day, right? Forget about the healthcare. Yeah. We want breakfast all day, right? Yeah. That option. You know? What happened?
John?
No, hang on one second.
John?
Something's going on here.
I had to. We're in trouble. Is that all better? Yeah.
Yeah, it was nothing was wrong. I don't think. I think you were just focusing.
No, I was futzing with my network connection. Sorry.
Oh.
Danny was slowing down a little bit and then talking fast, and I realized I didn't turn my Wi-Fi.
Sorry, off. I thought something was wrong.
Sorry. No, I've upgraded my network in my studio here. So
Are you hardwired into that place?
Yeah. So for my job, you know, I do a lot of file downloads and uploads and things like that. So what I realized was I was not out here in the studio, in the office, the shed, I was not getting the speed that I I'm paying for, right? Inside, you know, you're on Wi-Fi, you get three 300 megabits per second or whatever. And out here I was like 100, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I realized that I have all these little boxes, right? So you take an internet connection and it makes one into four or five or whatever. And I just kind of collected them over the years, got them free from work, you know, whatever. And these boxes they would go up to 100 megabits and that was it. And at the time,
they were outdated.
8 years ago, it was great. Yeah. So I ordered a couple more and I hooked one to a TV inside, you know, in the bedroom, and then another one out here. And I connected my Ethernet to USB plug that, you know, is a lot faster. So, speed's much improved.
So wait a minute. Cool. I got a question though. So is the shed hardwired? You said from, it's not going over any kind of Wi-Fi then hardwired.
Correct. I have a wire. So think about, when we redid the house and everything like that, I did all the internet wiring. So I knew that Wi-Fi would be getting better, faster and faster, that kind of thing. So I didn't put Ethernet plugs in every room, you know, like you used to, but I ran a couple of key wires like from the router and all that stuff behind, you know, in our main family room. This is super interesting for everybody. I ran one into the bedroom, and I ran another one underground out here. There was just I had them do a, you know, some conduit or something under the ground. There's already electricity. So I just ran the Ethernet along with that as we ran power out here. So this is hardwired, and I've got a wireless router out here too. You know, an old one that I have left over. So I have a monster inside that'll do a house bigger than mine. And then I have a smaller one out here that I can.
If you're hardwired underground, careful, because the squirrels can tap into it if they want internet.
Yeah.
So if it suddenly slows down, watch for a splice there.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be checking back to home base.
And watching Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes. So I got a question then about that. So we switched. So now I switched to a carrier that everything's Wi-Fi. I don't have any hardwired at all.
Okay.
Right?
So deprioritized.
As he freezes,
Did I freeze?
You did.
The only thing is you can...
Okay, you just answered my question.
You can be deprioritized like that. Did you know
that? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, like if you're using,
what does that mean?
I've been hearing, like, if you're using is it like, you know, T-Mobile or something, or that you're bottom on the list. Their cell customers come first on the tower, but your internet,
right?
So they can deprioritize you if the tower fills up. This is what Spectrum says. You're low on the list. They can go, well, cell phones. I could be up my ass. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they all lie just to get to you. But somebody told me years ago, you know, when we have like you can do Spectrum, Charter, whatever that is, and you can do AT&T. And they said, you know, back in the day, you want the one that none of your neighbors have, because everybody's starting to watch Netflix at 8 o'clock and your internet will take a hit. But if you're on the other network, you'll get better speed. But have you got, well, you've got like one of those 5G gateways or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. I mean, they're fine. They give great speed. I think you just might have to see, like, you can use apps on your phone, like, you know, speed test apps and things like that.
I do that. I have that app. Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, yeah. So you can just, like, you know, what is your connectivity like now in the, you know, in the studio versus right. in the kitchen? And if you want it to be better, you can get things from your provider, like an extender or an extra thing, and just make it, like, you know, for you, I would say you spend a lot of time out in the backyard and that kind of stuff. It might be nice for you to have some kind of extender or something that gives you good, you know, whether it's in your bedroom or out in the garage there, to, like, you know, kind of extend your same network to the backyard and those kind of things where you're sitting, so you can watch stream Netflix outside, you know, watch porn videos while you're sitting on the couch, whatever you feel like, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I stream those outside because, you know, it's so nice out.
There's nothing like, you know, streaming porn in your backyard on a Friday night with giant speakers just for all your neighbors to enjoy.
Yeah. Sometimes I just turn off the picture and just listen to the sound.
Yeah. Yeah. you can just imagine what's going on by the sound of slapping. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they must be doing that.
It has to be rhythmic, though. Otherwise, it's abuse.
I can't wait for the summary of this damn conversation.
That's what I was thinking.
we're starting a thing. We do this podcast over Zoom, and one of the things Zoom does now is an AI companion. And it's supposedly going to summarize our conversation so that I can easily make a thing for the podcast.
Do a screenshot of the very first summary it gives you. That's what I want to see. What it chose was important.
The first thing it's going to say is it's going to have the word foreskin in it.
We didn't say it, though.
No, you said it before we started the conversation. I had it.
Yeah, but I thought it's only when you're recording.
No, we just pay attention. We pay attention to it when it's recording. It's all the stuff you said beforehand would also be in there.
Once we're on, right?
What good is that?
Well, we'll find out. We'll see. We'll see what it is. I don't know. You know what? We could do a thing like
it's going to be routers. It's going to be all routers and modems.
That's routers and foreskins. Yeah, but. We could do it.
There's the title of our episode.
Routers and foreskins. Let me write that down in case it doesn't get.
Well, I hope somebody else doesn't have that as a title on their podcast. I would hate to get confused.
I would bet we're pretty safe.
Yeah, that's right.
What are the chances? More than
three.
Those political podcasts are not gonna pick up on that hot topic. But you know, we could do a thing like, hey, would you like to read about all the stuff we said before we started the podcast? Then, you know, give us $3 on our Patreon account and you can get a transcript of whatever. That's always looking for ways.
How to set the intonation on a Telecaster. Oh, that won't bore you.
There are people out there that might like it. I wonder, you know, when you think about podcasts that get a lot of publicity, you know, these celebrities that have their own podcasts or somebody that's got really great guests or those kind of things, you know, there are a few of those. And then there are a million podcasts that are so much worse than ours. I mean, there are guys, there are people that are just doing podcasts on their phone. There are people that don't understand anything and they just, you know, talking and laughing and smoking weed and drinking and, you know, all that kind of thing. So,
or their topic is too, their topic is too narrow. But I shouldn't say that because I don't know. There's probably, you know, they got 11 million followers on, you don't know. You just don't know. I mean,
yeah, I'm a member of
the irony here is I don't listen to podcasts.
Including this one. Yeah. Yeah. So I belong to all these groups and it's like, you know, I want to start a podcast. What should I do? Or what do you think about this idea for a podcast? Or I want to work full time on my podcast and have that make money. How can I do that? And I'm just, and I, you know, I resist initially going in and saying, well, number one, you're a dumbass. Who the hell makes any money on a podcast unless we already know who you are, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah. There are a lot of people that are like, should I buy a microphone? I'm like, yeah, you probably should. Should have a microphone, maybe, well, maybe have a computer.
A little hard to commute.
Have a little internet. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But I think if I were starting this podcast over again, number one, I wouldn't do anything different. This has been a hell of a ride and it's great. But I think that there's something to having guests and different people on, you know? I don't know who.
I agree, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who we'd have. Because everything's got to be so fucking secret all the time. But, you know, if we had people on that were, you know, just weirdos that we met. I mean, we don't even need celebrities, just people that we come across. You know, hey, I met this guy at this bar we go to all the time. And hey, here he is. You know?
Yeah.
You know what? The first thing that came to my mind when you were talking about if you have guests on, I wonder how much your skill as the host of a podcast plays into how good it would be. And I think we'd be fine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think
we know when to let the person lead and yeah. stuff. I think we'd know.
Yeah. We'd yeah. listen and, you know, maybe we're all here to talk about, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank, but once Janet Yellen starts talking about foreskins, we are off. Right. And then it's hilarious. So I think, yeah, you don't want to always have like, you know, I've got 20 blue cards and I'm, you know, reading my questions or whatever you know, I remember. Do you remember that guy who was on PBS, Tavis Smiley?
Yes.
He was an interviewer.
Yeah.
I don't know that he still does it, but I thought he was the greatest interviewer I ever saw. He didn't have He didn't have any cards at all. And he researched his guests, obviously, so he knew what was going on. But then he had a really great, maybe he's still doing his thing, and I just don't watch PBS, so I'm sorry if I'm using past tense here. But when I watched him, he would actually listen to what his guests say, and you could tell that he was kind of going down those roads. You know, he might say, let's bring it back to the Federal Reserve Bank, Janet, but he would, you know, talk about things they brought up as they were doing it. And it was just kind of an easy conversational style. And I thought, man, if I ever, you know, did TV, I would like to be like that guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that,
do you know that he was fired?
I know.
From PBS? So,
like,
what for?
Accused of violating the moral clause of his contract. Right, he was accused of fired in 2017 amid sexual misconduct allegations.
Was that the Me Too movement?
2017. It was a little before, right? That's before. This is more like 18, 19. The Me Too. But I mean, I liked him too. I mean, he just came off very, very smart too. You know what I mean? Just kind of informed but smart in the right way. Not just like, let me show you how intellectual I am, but I don't know. Well, but I did like his interview style and like you said, his preparation.
Yeah.
You know, boy, that's a shame, man. You know, guys, like, ah, jeez, you got to behave.
Yeah. Well,
he was
kicked off just because of accusations, though. Who knows
exactly
if he actually did something terrible? Right.
You know? Well, the thing it says on Wikipedia is he had an employment dispute with PBS in December, which resulted in his suing PBS for wrongful termination. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Smiley Audio Media, headquartered in Los Angeles. I wonder if we could get him on as a guest.
Oh, then we'll lose our 7 listeners.
No. He could tell us how we could do better. Just kind of just a live, you know, I listen to your guys' podcast. Oh, crap. Here's what you ought to do. Stop.
Do we have to pay him, though?
Yes. I guarantee you he doesn't do this stuff for free. He's a pro.
Oh.
If somebody asked us that who has never heard our podcast, what is your podcast about or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Could we answer that in like three sentences? I don't know how I would say what we.
Well, now you've got me.
Three senior men, three senior white guys. Are we seniors?
Yep.
I am. Well, three senior white guys.
I say middle age. It's a little, I have a little more optimism than you.
On foreskins and politics. Yeah. I don't, what do you,
I just say it's like three white middle-aged men that you come, they get together once a week and they just, commiserate, inform whatever about what's going on in their life. Just like if they were sitting down at a local coffee shop, it's almost like that. Or there's three guys in a bar just talking about, and whatever pops in your brain, it can be from cars and guitars,
silly politics. Health.
And I said, it's a chance for us to, I've said this before. It's kind of sophomoric in some ways on some days.
Yeah.
But that's kind of its appeal. It's like, oh my God, everybody can relate to being a child or being childish. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Kelly,
knuckleheads.
I did ChatGPT.
Uh-oh.
I muted myself and talk texted a bunch of crap in there. And so these are the three sentences that ChatGPT gives me about our podcast. Cocktail Hour is a hilariously candid podcast where three guys share their unfiltered thoughts on just about everything. Expect lots of laughs and a bit of sophomoric humor as they dive into spontaneous and often outrageous discussions. Perfect for anyone who enjoys lighthearted banter and offbeat topics. So there you go.
That's not bad at all. What did you?
Wow.
What words did you say that it came up with that? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm getting better at my thing.
That's really good.
I have a podcast called Cocktail Hour, where three men talk about whatever comes to mind. They are funny and sophomoric. Give me a three-line sentence that tells me about the podcast. So,
I couldn't have written that better.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
That damn AI is going to take over the world.
You know what? It does an okay job. I use AI a lot at work. So I work with all these folks that are from Korea, and English is not their number one language. So they'll write a blog post or a marketing piece or whatever, and then they'll run it through ChatGPT and say, make it sound good, And we've spent a lot of time on, don't make everything, this is the most fantastic, wonderful, incredible, like it'll just go nuts on adjectives. And so we've kind of refined our thing. But I feel like you can kind of tell. It's like, it's good, but it's not, you read a bunch of it, you kind of know it's not by a person. I think it's like if I said, here's an AI voice reading an audiobook. Or an AI voice talking for 10 minutes. Like after a while, you kind of know this is not a person. I mean, it might sound just like a person, but because there's no mistakes, because it's, the same level all the way through, it's not really people.
No dynamics at all, like a human.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell it, I want you to kind of just randomly get louder or quieter or insert
you can
noise. Yeah, you can do all kinds of things. But it even then, you still,
it doesn't
do random pauses while it thinks or, those kind of things. And I think we as people, we pick that up. And I think you read a lot of AI generated text. You're like, oh, this is pretty good. But
it doesn't really do nuance, right? Either.
No, but it does some surprising things. Like I could say, let's see. Hang on. Rewrite that description in the style of Stephen King. And so then it'll say, Cocktail Hour is a wild, unpredictable journey into the minds of three men who fear nothing and leave no topic untouched. Their banter is as darkly humorous as it is sophomoric, filled with unexpected twists and turns that keep you on edge. It's a podcast where laughter lurks in every shadow, ready to pounce when you least expect it. So, I mean, it gets
so added. Right? So it added good. Five words. It added five words, yeah. Right? I was just sitting there looking at
dark, pounce, and lurk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dark, you know, and I'm like, okay. So it all, this is fascinating, but it's also, you know, it's kind of inspiring in a little bit. I was sitting there thinking, okay, what if you give me that sentence and you say, do it in the style of David Mamet or John Steinbeck or whatever. So I would have to go in my memory or go read those and then pick out those phrases, those words, right?
Yeah.
And what Kelly's saying, those inflections and or pauses, those spontaneous pauses, and do it. And that can be a very good, useful tool, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. I think, you know, one of the things we talk about at work is that AI is not going to take your job. Somebody using AI is going to take your job, right? So imagine you're a marketing person. You've got to write a bunch of copy. This will help you do it faster. It's not good, and you wouldn't turn it in as it was, but it could write a 500-word description of this loaf of bread that you're trying to sell, and then you take that and you make it your own.
Yeah,
you know. But some of the sentences are probably fine. Some of them are a little too fluffy, but you just kind of edit the results. And
can you guys go ahead?
Oh, it is. When you do something like, you know, we had last week, we adopted out all of our kittens, right? And one of the things that was a requirement was write a description of your kittens and put them on the stupid website for adopting. So we had already had people adopting the kittens, but I still had to put it on the website. So I just went to this thing and I'm like, okay, the first kitten is, and I described it and like, you know, give me a 200-word description of this kitten. I turned out 3 website kitten descriptions in about a minute, you know, and nobody cares, but the box was checked, baby. Got it done.
Well, hey, do you guys ever wonder and think about how this AI is going to, how this AI could evolve and change, what the future might mean for it? Because I've been thinking about it a lot, you know, because, you know, one of all the investment that's going on into AI, you know, these there's different stocks that are doing it, but I'm sitting there wondering why they're what could happen? What are we missing on the AI front? You know.
You know, I talked to a guy about AI stuff, and he was a retired college president, small colleges in the South, and he was talking about plagiarism and writing essays and how this thing will write you an essay, baby. I mean, it, you know, maybe you won't do 40 pages at a time, but you could do, you know, several pages at a time and just marry them all together. And I'm like, you know what? I think you can't have college papers anymore because it's like having a calculator. You know, when I was in high school, nobody had a calculator. We didn't use calculators for anything. And then by the time I graduated, you were using calculators on tests to help you with stuff. And the rich people had calculators that would do formulas or things like that, you know, and whatever. So now it's kind of leaked over into the English department. So write me a short paper on, you know, David Mamet's plays, or, you know, how important he is or whatever. You could just sit in the back of the class and say, you got a printer in here? And I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's good.
You know,
it lies. I mean, sometimes it hallucinates and it'll say David Mamet, born in 1545, you know, to a Puritan woman, you know, you have to look for mistakes, things like that. But it'll write you a good paper. I think you can't do papers and grade them anymore.
But do you think then that leads the English teachings of the world not to rely so much on the written word, right? Yeah. But in the presentation of the written
word. Exactly. That's so what I told the guy. Yeah, you should have every damn student get up in front of the class with nothing and say, okay, now tell me about the plays of David Mamet. And the kid would be like, oh.
You can give notes, though.
Yeah, you can.
Have note cards, whatever, but you can't read a paper. You got to go up and you got to sit there and turn in this paper, quote, or this this lecture. You're going to lecture me on the style and the craft of David Mamet, right? But you got to make it. not only informative and accurate, but you've got to personalize it, because by you presenting that, it's no different than writing a paper.
Yeah.
I'd clean up in that class. I'd be top of the fucking class. You know why? I'd get up and I'd act a scene of David Mamet. You want to talk? This is what it's like.
But here's the thing. And I would give you a fucking A. And when the kid got up there and said, I am angry that I'm not allowed to go home and write this paper, or I want to memorize all these. School is just memorization. I've spent my whole life memorizing, and now you're asking me to actually think on command, and that's not fair. I've always received A pluses, and now I'm getting C's and that kind of stuff. I would say to that kid, welcome to the real world, baby. You know?
Right. Well, that's the thing, Kelly.
You're absolutely right.
You're right, Kelly. You would act the shit out of it, right? But then the teacher's job would be, Cal, that's great, but I'm not judging you on your performance. I'm judging you on your content. And that's very hard. That takes a very disciplined
I think if you said we are studying this playwright and you got to get up and do something. If you got up and acted something like that, yeah, you get an A just for doing that. And I get up there.
But what if you're not an actor and you're in that class, though?
Part of it is, maybe there's some out of the box thinking that you should do. Shit, I'm not an actor, and it's going to fall kind of flat if I say, I am going to list in alphabetical order all of the plays and the dates they were first performed. I mean, enjoy a C, because that's crap.
Here's the thing. So I get up in that class and I'm lucky I can act it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
The whiz kid science brain when he has to get up and present something in the math class, he's going to smoke my ass because that's not my gift.
Yeah. He's going to be.
So that's
he's
his advantage.
Yeah. He's going to be chalkboarding it, all afternoon.
I think John's right. Right. And the fact that we're not going to get A pluses in all our grades because, again, how we're wired. But you're right, John. That forces you, Kelly, as a non-science nerd, math nerd, to come up with a creative way, to talk about a physics theory or a chemistry theory or whatever, because you can't write the paper, because we're doing away with, because like you said, AI can do that for you. So you've got to present,
maybe there's things. I mean, if Kelly went to, University of Chicago, I don't see Kelly being a calculus major, right?
No.
He's going to get his general requirements so that he can graduate. And then he's going to really focus on the things he's going to focus on. And that's great.
Right.
And maybe you have those core classes, or maybe you rethink education and say, look, the thing will fucking write a paper for you, Tommy. So if you're a math dude, just do this one talking and presenting class and then go back in your hole and do formulas for the next 65 years and enjoy your life. And then for you other folks, like if you can't test out of calculus and you got to take some class for some reason, which I think is bullshit, then get through that class and then go focus on your your theater or your literature,
the core part.
And what is core? I mean, I remember my kids testing out of these core classes and that kind of stuff, and maybe you take them to get exposure to, I didn't realize that I loved chemistry as much as I do. We didn't have it in my school, maybe there's that. But I imagine a lot of the time is like, I've always hated this, I continue to hate this,
And here's why.
And I want to move on to something else. So, all that time you spend in those bullshit classes taught by some teaching assistant or something like that, maybe just get rid of all of it and make college something that makes you a better person. Learn to identify deep fakes or fake news, or what is history all about, or learn a damn language.
Also, learn to present.
Yes, that's, you know, that is super important.
Because that's going to help you even when you're a salesman at Guitar Center,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Learn how to present. Don't just be at NASA.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of kids that are just personalityless, AAA students, and it's like, man.
Yeah, and that hurts you when you're working, because if you're just in the grind, the boss, who is probably one of those presenters, is like, well, I've got these people that just grind away, and I need them to keep grinding, so that's good. And then everybody likes you, you can become the manager, you know, that kind of stuff, and you'd rise through, you know?
Yeah, you're and good the, with people because of something you, yeah.
Yeah, and the kids that grind, I mean, their way out is, I invented a thing that nobody else invented, so then I get to be in charge of whatever, or I invented something and I'm going to go work somewhere else. But if you were just typing computer code all day, every day, guess what you're going to do for the rest of your life? That kind of shit.
Yeah.
Now AI is changing that. Like, you can go to ChatGPT and say, write me a Python script that does whatever. And it will probably work. So,
is that right?
Yeah. You don't need to do that as much. Now you need to know something about it. So you'll know, like, if it's lying, like, oh, this is why it doesn't work. You need to know that kind of stuff. But I at work all the time, I'll do stupid things like, I've got an Excel sheet and these columns and these rows and these cells, and I want it to do something else. What do I put in that cell as a formula that will, you know, split the names, you know, in an email address or whatever? It'll do it. I don't need to Google
it. Is that right?
I just chat GPT and it'll say, enter this in box A2.
Is that right?
Yeah, hell yeah, it works.
That's pretty damn cool.
Going back to the presentation part, I mean, I think that we would see a huge frustrated group of people in this generation that wouldn't know how to do that because they can't even make a phone call this generation. Exactly. That's my point. So, you know, they're now using ChatGPT to do their things, but nobody is connected to the material anymore in presenting it. Or also just in sheer conversation. Forget about a presentation. That's a huge thing. But also, what if you had, you know, a professor would say, okay, we're not going to present today. We're going to watch these four people have a conversation about David Mamet plays or some sort of physical, you know,
or
physics theory. Or algebra, and you're going to have a conversation about it where you inform us as a group of people observing this. We need to walk away like we've read a textbook or we've read, you know, a report. And I think a lot of this generation would have tough. But what, on the flip side, can you imagine what that would do to your talent pool when it came time for hiring, then interviewing, and then assigning somebody?
You guys know.
We should start our own university.
You guys know.
I agree.
And I know. When we meet somebody who humors us, who's funny and creative, and I want to be around that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I want to hire that person if I was a hire.
Just engaging. They're just engaging. I mean, I see a lot of young people where I work, and none of them aren't funny. But there, every once in a while, you come across that one person that is engaged, they're present, they have an opinion, they have ways of expressing it, right? Mm-hmm. That draw you in, Kelly, like you're saying, is like, I want to spend more time with you. Or, you know what? Let's talk about this topic.
I'd like you to run this department is what I'm thinking.
Or I want you in this department. Yeah, I want you in this department.
Yeah,
exactly.
I want your spirit here. Yeah.
And I want your intellect, because not only are you, I know you're smart, but you've also demonstrated how you're using your smarts.
Yeah.
And that does, you know, I mean, I can read, we can all read any of our papers that somebody puts out and say, this is brilliant. But.
And you have a way of spreading that. You have a way of spreading that to the rest of my employees.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now. Because you're charming, you're funny and or whatever. And my bladder's full. I better go piss. Should we call it a day here?
Okay. Stay tuned for our next episode where we announce the name of our new university.
What's AI gonna do with that last comment I made?
Yeah, I'll send you the screenshot.
I can't wait. America, have a fabulous week. Fellas, have a good week.
See you later.
You're happy in the morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.